Allow me just to clarify the issue regarding one of the submissions. The first submission, you'll see your submissions are marked 1 to 16. And what I would suggest is that the honourable members get a file, because you can see if you put it in a file, it is quite thick. They are marked 1 to 17. The first submission was submitted by Blum, this is a point of order. Are you kind of raising on a point of order, Comrade Blum?
Yes, Comrade Chairman.
Then I shall hear you.
I see on the program as well, there's already meetings set for this venue here. The point that Mr. Landers is raising, can you please address that issue?
Is there anybody else that want to speak on this point of order? There's a question being raised about the use of the venue. It's a venue that is specifically reserved for the work of the JSCI. For those of you that don't know, this venue is regularly scrutinized by the National Intelligence Agency to make sure that the venue has not been bugged, specifically because the JSCI almost always meets behind closed doors, and because of the sensitive nature of the information and the briefings that they deal with. And so I think the point of order that has been raised is valid, and I think we should hear the chairperson of the JSCI on the issue before I give my input.
We have left it out. You said the very important
thing. I'm very sorry. That was not my intention to exclude you from. You want to speak on the point of order.
Thank you. In addition, it will be JSCI that will be seen as not doing what it's supposed to do. Two, last time we told you it was only that day. Now the second day, obviously the third day is coming, and the fourth day until the ad hoc is sending from being ad hoc to something else.
Can we hear from you,
Dr. Bob? Yes. No, thank you. I remember the correction, person. The meeting was only granted because we were supposed to go and meet somewhere in our hotel in town. And we last week. And so we'll appeal to the staff that they must find other venues, because if a man is today, you won't be granted any further permission. You are not granted the permission to sit here today just because we don't want to be disrupting that we allow. So just inform you that your committee won't be granted any further permission to ever sit here again, because we abused the privilege that is.
The Honorable Mentor, is it on the same point?
Just to say to the staff, if they don't know, the venues here, the night ones are according to how early you make an application, then you get a night one. So they must not sit until the last day or two to ask for them. So I would suggest that they do that today's date and table all the dates. They may overbook the venue instead of underbook the venue so that they have a set venue.
Thank you, Ms. Mentor. Allow me just to say the last word on this. I think the point is taken. There's nothing that can be done. The chair is right, the chair of the JSCI. When the ad hoc committee was first asked to meet, I think the staff was then trying to keep venues. We were most unfortunate, because if you recall, those of you that were at the first meeting, it was in a very small room. There were no microphones there. And the second meeting, we had an additional problem that the venue was double booked. Foreign Affairs was going to move in at 11, and the chair of the JSCI intervened, and luckily we were able to use the venue the whole duration of the meeting. The third meeting we were supposed to have was, I was led to believe by the staff, they could not get the venue at all. I then canvassed the possibility of using this venue, subject to them speaking to this chair and also speaking to NIA. The office manager felt that that was not necessary. He wasn't going to allow the ad hoc committee to meet in this room. And on that basis, they arranged for an outside venue. And I think with the kindness of the chairperson of the JSCI, given, I think it was raining that the last week, and also the short notice he allowed, having consulted me, I take, for the ad hoc committee to meet here. And I don't think we had intended to meet here today. For whatever reason we are meeting here today, I'm sure perhaps the staff understood that the venue would be available whenever there are other venues not available at Parliament. But be that as it may, I think we take the point, and I think the staff need to take the point, that we will not meet here again under any circumstances. And I hope the other members in the committee can understand, because now the obligation of the JSCI is not only to Parliament, it's to NIA. Their specials, rule specification as to how we go about doing our work and the environment in which we work. And they have been complaining for some time about the environment in which we work, the unsecure manner in which the venue, or particularly the building facilities. So, comrades, can we conclude then we shall not meet you again and go on to the agenda? Thank you for raising that point, Mr. Donner. As I was saying earlier, we were to meet today to deal with the submissions that we received. I was addressing you on the second submission, which came from the South African History Archives. It was a joint submission done with the Nelson Mandela Foundation, and the query was raised in the subcommittee as to whether the SAHA had the permission of the Nelson Mandela Foundation to do a joint submission. I've subsequently wrote a letter to them, and I've received a reply. If I might just read it, I'm writing in response to your email of the 24th of June. This is to confirm that the foundation has worked with the South African Archive, SAHA, on the submission, that the submission dated the 20th of June and submitted under cover of my email dated 20 June is a joint foundation SAHA document, and that SAHA is authorized to use the submission as a joint foundation SAHA initiative. Yours sincerely, Vern Harris, Program Manager. I thought I'd just clear that up. There's also the issue of the review committee. Their submission is number 2 on the list. For those of you that don't know, this was a committee appointed by the minister for a specific purpose. They had a specific mandate. And they're now making a submission on, and we were not sure on whose behalf this submission was made. I then wrote a letter to them to get clarity. They are saying in their letter that they are making this submission independently as an independent body. I've written to the minister to ask the minister whether he is aware of the submission they made, specifically because they were appointed by the minister, by the executive, to deal with a specific issue. I have not had a reply from the minister as to what the status of this committee is. So there is, in my view, a problem regarding the submission we received from this ministerial review committee. I think perhaps just before we go further on the other submissions, if there are any members that want to speak to that, to this particular issue of the second submission on your list.
I'm not saying I'm sense of wanting to hear them. I went to the document again. I'm satisfied that what they need to say, I took note of it, contained in some other things, and that's fine. It's fair enough as far as I'm concerned. So I'm not going to argue a case of having them here in front of us for all hearings, if that will help you out with reference to yesterday's discussion. I tend to agree. We actually don't have that much of need now. If we're not considering them for oral hearing, we actually do not need to spend a lot of time discussing that until we hear from the minister. But I think that we should make it two different issues. So first of all, it is the issue we want to know their status in terms of the submission they made. The fact that they made it and we read it, it means we are ready from limit to, in other words, in our arguments and our discussions, we will have consideration of that, even if you tell us not to do so. But I think we can keep that separately until we get the answer from the minister, and do not need to cloud that with our decision to invite who we're going to invite for our whole thing. That's going to make it a bit easier for you, Chair.
Yeah, Advocate Swartz, I think things look more complex than what you're raising now, because there was a mixture of the presentation from the Advocate Varney, if you remember. And he was referring to the submission of the Ministerial Committee. There was also proposals from the Ministerial Committee on proposed amendments and things. So a lot of the submissions that we have received, and if you look at the document that came from the Ministry dealing with the comment on the bill, they are continuously referring to that submission because it was one of the first submissions that was received. So I think you are correct when you say that we need to understand their status, who are they, and before we even get whether they are going to be invited to oral submissions or not. I think it's the status. Whether we need to give some attention to their document or not, even as a written submission, because I don't want it to be said that the submission just mysteriously got left out of consideration. We need to know whether we need to consider it even as a written submission or not. That's, I think, the issue. So, Comrade, the Honourable Bloom.
No, thanks, sir. I think that the Mentor has covered me.
I think that Ms. Mentor has covered me. But the other thing is that I think that the mandate of this review commission have lacked.
I think I'm not in a position, I don't know if any member in the committee is in a position to make such a finding. I think it's for the minister to tell us. I think what I would want from the committee here is a clear direction as to how we proceed from here to deal with that issue, given the fact that the minister has not yet replied, and given the fact that the commission itself speaks about an independent existence. The Honourable Ngabadeli.
Thank you, Chair. I've been covered by Honourable Men, and I move that we leave it until you get the response and then continue with other issues.
Before we take that motion, can I hear the Honourable Lawless? He had his hand.
Yeah, Chair, I won't delay the meeting. Suffice to say, though, that I would have thought the Commission would have used the opportunity during the drafting of the bill to make their input. I mean, they were in a privileged position, given that they were appointed by the minister. And so it's a bit odd now, after the bill has been drafted, for the review commission to still come to us, which is fine. You accept submissions from anybody. But when you read the submission, you realize it's quite a bit. And I take the point that members are saying, well, we don't have to hear that. But what we do have to hear is, what is the status of this commission now? It's becoming more and more like a standing committee of, in other words, an executive oversight mechanism, taking over the role of the JSCI, which is the fear more and more emanating from them. And these concerns were raised right at the outset, even before they were appointed, and they're beginning to bear fruition.
Thank you, Mr. Landers. Shall I have the Honourable Smith and then Honourable Doc?
Yes, I wasn't going to speak, but just in response to your question, should we factor that submission into our thinking? Oh, I've read it. I'm sure we've all read it. And in as much as it makes certain points forcibly and well, I'm sure it's already part of our thinking. You know, I saw it simply as part of what I consider a most laudable, transparent approach from the side of the ministry, as I've said before. So putting everything before us, although it was clearly a document that the minister had commissioned, if you like. And so I would suggest that it's already part of our reading. I'm sure it'll have its effect. We can leave it there. And the decision, we can leave till later the decision whether we want to hear, say, Mr. Joe Matthews. I mean, it's not every day that you hear someone like Mr. Matthews whose history goes back so far. Maybe we can just defer that particular decision, whether we want to hear him or Dr. Benwala in person. But at your crisp question, whether it's also part of our what we consider, I would say yes, I've already read it. Like, we have many excellent submissions, and they will all have their effect on our thinking, won't they? At the end of the day, it's our thinking and our decision that prevails after all.
Thank you.
Can I just clarify
what's
the response?
You seem to have some response. I'm not sure what you're saying, but I think it's
independent.
I don't want them to say we discuss it. Can we just get what's the response? You know, why I'm saying this, you see, we've got this thing. It says quite a lot of things about the bill. And there are two problems. First one is that it's not addressing the bill before the committee. It's addressing another bill which was advertised by the minister. That's the first problem. The second problem is that they are not, and they will never be independent clashes. They are not even a commission, as they call them. They're a committee appointed by the minister to review regulations and assist the legislation. And the legislation before the committee is the legislation signed by the minister. The same minister they're supposed to be advising. And I think that's the reason why I asked them whether did you advise the minister on this? And what was the attitude of the minister? I'm not sure they have responded to that. Because their response will be critical, because if their advice was ignored by the minister or executive, they must say so. But they can't, if they are making this, if they have made an advice and ignored, they are, as South Africans, they are allowed to make submissions, but they can't make it under the name of the Ministerial Review Commission. Like anyone who can make, they will still feel very strongly this thing should be handled this way. So that's why it's going to be important to get exactly what is their response, because that will guide us and what the minister's response on how, whether to. Well, that will guide us on the status of their submission.
Thank you, Commander. Before I get to your question, what is their response? The issue regarding the commission, and you've heard now, because members of the JSC, I would have a bit more in-depth insight into just what this commission was appointed for and the lifespan that they were meant to have. But you will understand, having been appointed by the executive, being an organ working under the executive, now moving into the sphere of the legislature and trying to be present in the legislature process now, as chair, I was particularly concerned with the separation of powers now, you know, just where are they, who are they, and that's why we wrote to them to get clarification. Now, let me read your my letter. I acknowledge the receipt of the submission. The committee would be pleased if you could clarify the following issues regarding your submissions. Did the commission make similar submissions to the minister before the bill was tabled in Parliament, setting out your concerns? And if so, to what extent were your concerns addressed in the bill? Furthermore, your structure was appointed by the minister for a specific purpose. However, it is not clear from your submission whether you act for and on behalf of the minister. Accordingly, will you please, if you could clarify the aforementioned copy of the ad hoc committee. Their response to that was Mr. Burgess. The Minister of Intelligence Services, Mr. Castle, requested the Commission to make comments on the Protection of Information Bill, memorandum dated 10th of March 2008. The Commission thereafter submitted those comments to him on the 27th of March before the bill was submitted to Parliament. The bill was not amended before being tabled in Parliament. In the Commission's final report, we will deal with the critique of the bill as per our terms of reference when we address secrecy and transparency. We therefore thought it would be prudent to bring these issues when the call for public hearings and submissions were made by the Parliamentary Ad Hoc Committee on Intelligence Legislation. It was our considered view that comments and the observations on the bill would be more valuable if made during this process rather than when the Commission provides a final report, which might be after the Ad Hoc Committee had completed the process of consultation on the bill. According to my colleague and I, it is our understanding that the Commission was established as an independent body and has in fact at all times functioned as such. Therefore, as in other instances, we do not act for and on behalf of the Minister. However, as a matter of courtesy, we did inform the Minister that we would be making a submission to the Parliamentary Committee. That's the response. Now, I see a whole range of hands. There was a proposal, a motion. Is the motion not going to settle this issue? Do we have to hear more discussion on this? Okay, Mr. Bloom, you want to make an input?
It's clear, Chairperson, that these people are saying that they have submitted things before the bill was submitted to the minister. So why must they come now and do another submission to the other committee? They were helping the minister. They have already, so it's not necessary for them to come.
Mr. Bloom, I think the issue that we were looking at is their status, you know. Because if we clarify their status, I think that would be more helpful.
They have already said, Chairperson, the mandate has lapsed long ago.
Okay. Mr. Bloom, I think we've heard you. Ms. Mento, is it going to be helpful to finalizing this process?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, actually, the minister's attitude is disgusting, to put it mildly. It's not for the first time that we have probed him on this body. Its composition, its etc. So I think in the letter that you must write to him, Chair, you must inform him very strongly that we don't take kindly to the fact that you have asked him and he has not responded. And it is in line with his previous attitude when we asked questions around this very body. So, Chair, I really think that apart from saying to the minister, we are awaiting your response, we should go further than that and elaborate on our frustration with the minister in relation to this body that he has put in place. Clarifying the issues of status and why the answers from him on this body are never forthcoming. Now they have used the space, the time, the money, the resource, the status allocated to them to become another thing and to be involved in other processes. So I think our letter should be less than sweet and should not only seek the status of the committee. go back further than that by telling the minister how we feel about the responses and the questions we have been putting to him regarding this body. Now, I know that maybe I'm wearing a cap of the JCI. So maybe also as a JCI, we need two separate issues where we sit together, the chairperson now takes over again, writing another letter from the JSCI pertaining to this matter, in which these other issues that I'm raising maybe belong to better than to this process. We saw this coming.
Thank you. Before I go on to the Honorable Gavadelli, and then I see Kedrick Swatis has thought, perhaps, Honorable Member, I'm a bit nervous saying to the minister that his behavior is disgusting. Perhaps, can we say it appears to be inappropriate? It appears to be inappropriate that this it creates the impression that there's no answer to the question that we get. It creates the impression that there's already a decision that has been taken here. I think, let's deal with appearances. Perhaps I can get the Honorable Minister to calm down and look at the word inappropriate as being more acceptable in the circumstances.
Well, you were going to write a letter. I hope you have expressed myself in the manner that you have.
Okay. The Honorable Gabadelli.
You know, I know our chair used to say politicians like talking because they get paid for it. I think we have long passed this thing. Now we're beginning to unpack issues of JSCI in a wrong venue. We are firstly in a wrong venue for beginning to unpack issues of JSCI, and I propose that we just pass the thing until the minister answers. I don't know why we like talking about things that don't exist. This thing, it means we must write to the minister again and say to him, can you submit your own submission? Do all the duplication. If you know sweet potato plant, this is a sweet potato plant. You plant it here, it goes there. So, let's just forget about these two until we get the response. Full stop, and we'll continue.
Honorable Gabadelli, thank you. I say again, the issue is a serious one and it needed discussion, particularly for the reasons that I've already said. So I don't think we have gone through a useless process. It is a committee. It is trying to be alive. We have suspicions it shouldn't be alive. We have a whole lot of range of issues here regarding the interference in the legislature. And I think let's not take it anything further than what Gavadelli is saying. Let's get clarity. I don't think we need a formal motion. I think if you give me a mandate, write to the minister, get clarity on this thing, come back to the committee, and then we decide on the issue. At the moment, the submission, I think, that is made on behalf of the Ministerial Review Committee will not be considered at this stage. Shall we all agree on that?
Yes, sir.
There be no objections, then we shall proceed.
I think also it's unfortunate that I don't see anyone from the ministry here. Is there anyone? It helps if we are here because we can ask better questions to clarify as we move on. I'm not more sure whether whom did they consult on this bill, because on the official bill it just said the. They send the bill to all the ministers to comment, which is normally insufficient because you specify the departments or the organizations which commented on the bill. This is not included, unfortunately. I'm saying this because there are a lot of state institutions which are making submissions. And I'm saying this said not because I've got anything against those submissions. I think they're useful submissions. But whenever you write legislation, you are more likely to find a collusion later on. when you are formally considering this thing, and saying, finding ministers saying, these people never care, this thing is not policy of my department of my government. So I think at some stage you will have to, well, no, it does surprise me that they must be liaised with their relevant authorities, because I see a lot of people writing as individuals or sub-departments and so on. That would be helpful so that we don't get this mark, which normally class the committees when they are at the consideration phase. So that people clear things with their respective departments or ministers, because you find sub-directors there making submissions. You're finding government public enterprises making submissions. So all those things will need to be managed carefully. I don't want when things we are questioning and trying the minister striking us, say, hey, why did you call these people without informing me and so all those things. And I'm suggesting that without suppressing them, we say we welcome the submission because it's important to get submission. But please check with the relevant department or so that you don't find any conflict. Because the bill comes from cabinet, doesn't come from the ministry. The bill which has gone through cabinet. And we'll expect that if departments aren't happy, they could, these things are circulated in the department in a normal way, unless they said nothing done. But departments should comment at that stage on these issues rather than finding organs of state or department for that matter of the same government coming with different conflicting views.
Just before you
something which may be shut down later on after spending so much energy on it. Thank you.
Are you making a proposal, a formal proposal that submissions we receive in that regard, that we get clarity from the minister or the department?
Yeah, I'm saying it's unfortunate because after reading the bill, it doesn't tell me whom did they consult. If they didn't consult people, then you can't blame those people for making submissions. He's not clear. The bill to me just says, I'm not sure whether we put this question to the ministry. All what it says, it says it asks the ministers to comment on the bill. But it doesn't who was consulted on the bill in a proper manner, because normally they write, this person, this organization were consulted during the class day. That's what makes me give me difficulty to say whether you write to these people now until you get a clarity or not.
Thank you. I understand the point much clearer now.
Since ESCOM is now mentioned, because you know my great worry about the frame and scope of this bill is that precisely it would allow enterprises like ESCOM to classify things for secrecy when a state-owned enterprise or any commercial enterprise ought not to be extended that kind of facility for the obvious reason. ESCOM would no doubt leap at the opportunity to classify a secret information which it would much rather we didn't have at a time when it is malfunctioning so terribly. So I think it's a mistake. And it just seems to me that if ESCOM did wish to present, we should hear them. But all I saw was the letter saying they couldn't find the people who... Was there any further communication from ESCOM? There was a pathetic letter that said they couldn't find the relevant people within their organisation. Therefore, they were not in a position to send offend anything. But on the point of the minister's position, a minister of public enterprises is just a theoretical shareholder. He has a shareholder's compact with a state-owned enterprise, which just sets the parameters for what he'd like to see them do. But, I mean, it's not as though he runs the thing. And a utility like Eskom is a huge, powerful creature. I think it should be submitting in its own right. And it's not as though its minister is its chief executive officer or the chairman of its board. He is not. But did we have anything from... We didn't have anything from Eskom, did we? Did we? Oh, I would actually have liked to have heard them. I see they're not on this list. Yes.
The Honourable...
Chair, my term is the evidence from Dr. Twenes, which I think is valid, that we need to, in clarifying the process, we also need to clarify at the level of the executive who also participated, because what we normally see is after the speaker puts the thing into the system of parliament, but it's normally helpful to know what happened prior to that point when the thing comes up. Because in relation to what Dr. Kelly is also saying, I want to know whether the National Interministerial Committee that's so defunct and should provide leadership on some of the things, assisted or participated in the process. The same question I would ask about the National Security Council. I don't think they should come to life only when there are problems. Then you see them in action. So I would also want to know evidence or semblance of whether as those arranged structures within the executive, they had something to do with this process. The other question is the issue of national key points. I'm just thinking aloud, Chairperson. All the departments or enterprises that would be having assemblies or a thing relating to national key points would be do have something to do with a protection of information, etc.
Perhaps don't you want to poke that you are raising something quite important, but don't you want to poke it? Can we just finish with the principle that Dr. Trella is raising, which is that we don't know which department was involved in the process at cabinet level when the poll was considered. Can we just deal with that issue? Because seems to me the way that we need to deal with that is perhaps to get a presentation from the ministry on that rather than me writing a letter, because one would want to interact with the ministry on and question a number of, so if we can get deeper into the thing, and perhaps that is the way to go. I don't know how the members feel about that. Can we just get that part out of the way, because the Honourable Doctor has raised an important issue. We don't know the bill itself does not have sufficient information on it as to what involvement, and it is affecting the presentations, our consideration of the presentation. So can we just get that out of the way before we go into something?
The bill comes from cabinet, so we must work on the assumption that all the ministers are part of their collective responsibility. Whether each one of them actually slaves through it, that's a different. But this is from cabinet. It is surely not incumbent upon us to establish whether all of the ministries read it, like it, whatever. Shouldn't.
With respect, I think the issue that the Honourable Doctor is raising is precisely the problem that we have, because we are getting submissions now from. I take the point that you make that the minister, the Honourable Irwin, is just an honorary shareholder of some sort. But I think the principle the Honourable Doctor is trying to raise is just how do we deal with some of the submissions now. Perhaps let me just hear it.
I'm saying it's different shape as the two other bills. The National Strategic Intelligence Amendment Bill, they specify, they said all the justice criminal justice cluster departments were consulted. They specified. And on top of that, because they are forming a new department, they consulted the Public Service Commission. They've got three departments consulted. All government departments in the JCPS cluster were consulted. In addition, the Department of Public Service and Administration has been consulted in connection with the establishment of NCC as a Schedule 1 department. In the most inconsequential bill, the Intelligence Service Amendment Bill, and the State Department consulted, all government departments have been consulted. And then when coming to this, they say, it says, that a draft bill was distributed to all ministers for comment. It is a very inconsistent approach. On the most serious bill, on the most less serious bill, you consult all departments, you know, because the consultation is something which happened even before you go to the cabinet. You say, I've consulted all these people. They are in agreement. I'm moving the memorandum. So I'm saying it because of that maybe it'd be important that at some stage get some clarity from the ministry because of these things, and then before we take the next step on how to handle. Thank you.
Am I correct in my thinking that the clarity we require is not written, that we need to bring somebody from the ministry here and get a proper presentation where we can interact with the ministry?
Yes.
And shall I then be authorized to write to the ministry and invite them as soon as possible to present to us on that particular aspect? Then, honourable members, I'm...
Are we saying we're calling the minister or people from the ministry? Because we know this thing of being started by people from the ministry, and the minister is not there. We'll be back to square one. We'll be back to square, because it's him who should give us this explanation thoroughly so that you can move forward. Right now, we cannot move. Even to point 9, we won't even reach there. Because we don't know how this thing was done.
Fine, we shall. Is it then your proposal that we call the minister? Is there any objections to the minister being called to give clarity on this thing? Then it shall be so done. Members, we now, I think, going on to the work of the subcommittee. Is there any objection to going on to that particular aspect on the agenda? The subcommittee met yesterday. I might just report that no specific members were appointed to serve on the subcommittee. People were asked to volunteer. The volunteers that did arrive was Advocate Swat, Ms. Mento, myself, and the Honourable Rounders. We went through the submission, 17 of them. We came up with a list that we thought of the people that should, or the organizations that should be invited to give oral submissions, in addition to the written submissions which we already have received. I might just add now that the envisaged date for the oral submissions is the 29th of July. This is a date which was given and decided in the programming committee last week. So at the moment, we are ready to go with the oral submissions on the 29th. The other two bills, the oral submissions, have been advertised to take place on the 30th. We do not expect to have a lot of submissions there. But as it stands now, the program in Parliament and our program has been adjusted to switch our oral submissions now to the 29th. So there are lists before you. You'll see. The one list contains the proposals from the subcommittee as to who should be invited. The other list contains a list of those people that gave us written submissions who wanted to be invited, but who who the subcommittee felt should not be invited. So I think I'll give it over to the members now. I hear the site meeting taking place here. The Honorable Twela is seeking clarity.
You are also out of order. You have also not raised his hand officially in the meeting. You are saying it's a site meeting. I've raised my hand.
Honorable Bloom, I'm just busy addressing the I'm busy addressing them with the irregularity that is taking place here in front of me, so please. Before I hear you, the Honorable Bloom, what was handed out to you are two pieces of documents on which there are lists. The one with the big, big letters. That's the list that the subcommittee has recommended should be invited. The big letters. The big letters are the ones that are not have not been invited but would wanted to make oral submissions. Okay. The other list that you have before you, the smaller. Fonts. That is the recommendations of the subcommittee of people, the organizations that should be invited. So I think there are 10 of them that we have proposed to be invited. Now, the matter is now open for discussion on the list, both lists, and I don't know if the Honorable Bloom still want to be heard on the irregularity of the meeting that was taking place here now, or is it on the list?
You are not in a court of law.
The Honorable Bloom, I hear you, and
a witness here. My hand was up in support of. You see, when we were proposing a subcommittee, the subcommittee was doing their work. They are coming now with a list, and I will support the recommendation from the subcommittee because they have applied their mind to the submission, and I will support the list of the subjects, what they are proposing.
I've got the Honorable Swat and then after that the Honorable Mentor.
Chair, coming from an irregular side meeting, I just want to make a side remark. The reason for the meeting was exactly that. First, it was a planning meeting to assist you if you should make a mistake in terms of educating the subcommittee.
Will the Honourable Members just make the necessary adjustments? I know they have been colloquially referred to as the Human Rights Commission. Honourable Members, let's not have these irregular meetings taking place. The point is taken, the members are instructed to make the necessary adjustment to their document. So, is that the point you wanted to raise on? Is anybody else on the list? Anybody else wanting to given put the remark on the two lists that is before.
Where are we on the list? Because I'd like to comment on the list.
We are taking comments on those lists. Those that have been excluded, so oral submissions and the list that the subcommittee has proposed should be given an opportunity to make oral submissions. Point of order.
You have now repeatedly said that this is a list of bodies that were excluded, but were requested. That is not the case. This is the bodies that are requested, because some of them are included in our suggestions.
Will you make that necessary adjustments to your thought patterns?
No, I don't have any.
I have like a lawyer.
Thank you. Now that I'm clear, where are we in this list? We are on the list recommended by the subcommittee, which Dennis Booth called to say must support, and I support it. But may I just give with your permission, sir, and permission of the members, there are other organizations we are reaching to. The chairperson may be aware that they've been phoning asking for further extension. I think because of the sensitive nature of this bill, we should not just close to them.
Yes.
I fully support these. I've read their submissions. I think they should be called. They are. But I'll appeal on us not just to close immediately when people have made the submissions, but allow the chairperson to consult with other members when they were submissions, so that we can include them in the hearing if necessary. Thank you.
Before I get to you, the Honourable Swartz, I wasn't sure whether the Honourable Mentor was raising a hand. You're reserving your rights there. I shall hear the Honourable Swartz and then the Honourable Broom.
Yes, we did discuss a bit the issue of possible submissions still to come. I made a specific remark about people just requesting oral submissions. Let me try and adjust what I said yesterday after further thought of it, but in line with what Dr. Kelly just said now. Since the oral hearings have now been moved to the 29th of July. I personally do not have any problem that we accept further submissions, written submissions, and or requests for oral submissions, provided that we will not grant, and this is a formal proposal here, we will not grant a request for an oral submission without any written submission included. Because we've just now took people who asked for oral submissions and we took them out on the basis of what they gave to us in the written submission. We cannot, in the same way, accept people who just want to make an oral submission. So if anybody wants to be considered oral submission, we must have a written submission in front of us.
Agreed. Irrespective of who they are. Irrespective of them.
No.
But we want them to come.
Yeah, everybody.
Honourable members, please let me understand. I see there's a lot of unauthorized support here. let's just get this thing on record now. A lot of people are shaking their heads. The proposal from the Honourable Doctor is that we not close the process. Is that accepted by the committee? The further proposal which follows from Advocate Swat is that, yes, we will accept oral submissions, but that preceding the oral submission, there should be some form of written submission.
We would accept a request for oral submission if it is forwarded with We will still have to meet again to consider if those requests for submissions will be granted.
So was that the general consensus of actual people? Now, would there be any objections from the committee if I, as chair, communicated with organizations who have shown an interest to notify them of the decision that has been taken today?
No problem.
As wide as it can. Right, fine. Then I think that. Then I think we will then conclude on that basis that we've got a list of people that will present orally, but that list might be supplemented at a later stage by additional people. I did promise the Honourable Mentor that she would have a closing speech on the matter.
No, I'm asking a clarity question. That's why I said I'll ask it at the end. Hoping that my questions in my mind would be clarified by people. Earlier on, I spoke about national key points. I was trying to understand the arguments of ESCOM, and I was wondering whether ESCOM is having a peculiar problem or whether it is a problem that could be affecting other national key points, because we were trying to address an issue. So I was wondering whether we have reached out, we have asked responses from all the relevant people. And I was wondering whether that we should do by means of an oral invitations to do oral submissions or whatever. It was just in my keenness to know, following up the concerns of ECFOM and looking at them, thinking that they do not affect them peculiarly. They could be affecting other people. So I don't want us to over-broaden and over-elongate the process, but I was wondering whether it is necessary then to are the people we may specifically think that we could be affected, like national key points or whatever, that maybe we could urge to come forward during the oral submission process. I don't want us to reopen the process. I'm very sensitive to that.
Just one clarity. Are you ignoring my hand purposefully or what? Because my hand was up after doctor has spoken, but I'm covered by what doctor has said.
The Honorable Bill, I might remind you, my secretary was saying that you were actually second at the Honorable Smuts was before you, but I was keen enough to see that you were first.
Chairperson, I'm not addressing the secretary, I'm addressing you. It's not about the
secretary.
I mean, I thought Frankie's question was interesting and valid, but the difficulty about including state-owned enterprises is the fact that this bill purported to deal with commercial interests. It's not the key points aspect, that's a whole different aspect, the physical installation. But the fact that people like ESCOM under this proposed bill will be required to classify its commercial information and its operational information. So the fact that it acquired, I don't want to make a long story, wet coal instead of dry coal from suppliers who were not good, that it didn't acquire enough coal to have a stockpile because it hoped to increase the bonuses, arguably, of its increase. And this is a commercial aspect, it's not the key point aspect that is material to the state-owned enterprise's inclusion. The key point thing, I think, does require.
Honourable members, I think we finished on this point.
Yes.
We've got a mandate to do what needs to be done. I think then we need to consider whether we have our research here, and on the agenda is the item of a presentation from the researcher on the submissions that we have. I move on the assumption that a number of members haven't had the time to read all the submissions. If that assumption is incorrect, you can say so. then maybe. I said I move on the assumption that many of the honorable members do not read the documents. And if I am incorrect, they must say so. Okay? Now, if that is the case, then, and that is why we have on the agenda the presentation from the researcher who has taken a lot of time analyzing this mass of documents to just give the committee a broad view on what we can expect in those submissions. Just breaking it down so that we see the various areas that are being raised by the submitters, concerned areas. That I don't think that the research is going to take more than 15 minutes, but I think after the presentation, you might have a better idea of the documents before you. So, the issue before the committee now is, do you want to hear the presentation?
Yes, please.
Okay. Then I shall call on the researcher. Patrick in a very complicated sermon.
Oh.
But I will ask him to introduce himself. The Honorable Swat is excused. Honorable members, you have been handed a copy of the presentation, and as soon as you have your copy, we'll proceed with the presentation. Some idea of the abbreviations being used here. And then I see the document is quite bulky now. And then perhaps just a 15 minute take through. But I think what the members will find useful is that when they use this document, it will probably be more useful to read this document before you start reading your submissions. You would get a fair idea of what is being dealt with. So over to you, Mr. Richard.
Thank you, Chairperson. Perhaps I would start by introducing who I am. I am Patrick Nguvane, currently with the JSCI. Thanks to Alpha Seed. I must, Chairperson, from the outset state that this document is a working document. And especially right now, seeing that now there will still be some submissions that could be coming. We'll still have myself and my colleague next to me, Nadia, we'll still have some time to fine-tune this document, checking whether maybe everything is still under the same chapter and clauses. The structure of the document, Chairperson, is as follows. Members, all of the members will find that we first identify the chapter and the clause with the subtitle. And then thereafter, we identify the organization and what the organization says, its recommendations, if there are any reasons, to also state the reasons. I must also, Chairperson, say that preferably that this document be read in conjunction with the bill itself. This is to exactly so, because we found that many organizations did not specify which chapters or clause they were referring to. It was just content. So we just had now to try and check as to what way, which chapter or clause they were referring to. Now, Chairperson, again, looking at the proposed 10 organizations, we managed with a colleague to sort of look at what would be the major issues identified by these organizations. Generally, we found that there's been some concern about the national, what is meant by national interest. Secondly, there's also been some concern about the categorization of information on block. Also, the power of the minister, or the power of the minister that vested in the minister himself. And also the objectivity of the appeal procedures in the bill. The court procedures where media might or could be exempted. Now, that in relation to public interest. And then also the principle of secrecy versus constitutionality and PAIA, or if you like, the Promotion of Access to Information Act. Looking at the document, Chairperson, on page 3, clause 8, which reads as follows: intrinsic value approach. We identified there the South African Catholic Bishops' Conference, where they recommend that clause 8 of this chapter should be deleted. Reasoning being that definition in 8 subsection 2 is unclear to them and sets up the rivalry between values which are of equal importance. Also, the same clause 8 subsection 3b2 is also unclear as identified by the SACBC. Chairperson, again, on page 4, clause 15, which reads national interest of the Republic. The organization there is ABUSA, which with its recommendation that any concept of national security that's employed trigger the classification of information must be precisely and narrowly defined such that any impairment on constitutional rights will be justifiable, as is also required under the United Nations endorsed journalistic principles on national security, freedom of expression, and access to information. They further say that the definition of national interest fails this test in every respect, and therefore should also be eliminated from the bill. Chairperson, again, on page 5, clause 16, which reads, nature of commercial information.
Maybe I'm grasping differently. For me, you're taking us backwards and forwards on this document. I would propose that it could be better if you take us through the document as is, chapter by chapter. I'm finding it difficult to marry this document to move backwards and forwards. I don't know. Maybe if I'm the only one, I would.
I think he's dealing clause by clause in the bill. That's what I understood. He's moving clause by clause in the bill. Now, because it's not an act yet, the particular provision is referred to as a clause and not as a section. So when he talks about the clause, I understand him talking about clause 15 in the bill, if I understand you. So I don't think he's jumping. He's now on. As far as I see, he's in chapter 5. He's in chapter 5 already of the bill. Yeah. So he's
following.
No, he's following the document, because the document itself is numbered in terms of the clauses in that you will find in the bill.
I don't want to delay doing this. I'm the only one that's lagging behind with the two-way process.
Go to page 5. He's on page 5 now. Go to page 5 on your document. and I think he's dealing now with clause 16. You see clause 16?
Yes.
Now that is the clause in the bill. That's not the clause in this document. That's clause 16 in the bill.
What is the
before you proceed, Patrick, can I hear the article?
I think we have said Patrick and Nadia must compile this thing. They are busy and they are helping the committee in flagging out what the submissions have said, and it's helpful so that when we deal with this thing, then we have an idea of what I think that was the question of Doc. You see, he's a spy. He's not he's not used to this type of thing. He's busy with dark glasses and things. This is transparent.
I will not allow you to attack this person's integrity. But spies do have
integrity.
The question of a spy is...
I withdraw if it was an attack on it. You are no more spy. You are no more spy with dark glasses. Where's your dark glasses? You are no more.
This meeting is not closed like we. You must be careful. We deal in this. It's not JSCI meetings. You've got people here that might tomorrow go and print something that was meant to be very friendly and joking. They might.
They know Dr. Quayle. Who knows it? Don't know Dr. Quayle. All of them know.
I'm just asking to Honorable Bloom to restrain yourself.
I withdraw, Chairman.
I'm so pleased. Thank you, Honorable Bloom. Can we proceed then? I take it the Honorable Quayle has satisfied himself that the process is a useful one.
Thanks, Chairperson. Just for the Honorable Members, interest, basically, we are now doing chapter 5 and clause 16 of this chapter, which is on page 5, and that reads, which is as follows, nature of commercial information. Furthermore, the honorable members will find that next to the organization, there's a certain number. That number denotes that the submission was allocated that number in our records. We have here AVUSA with their recommendation that saying that the classification of state information should be limited to instances where the state has a clear interest in the protection of the information concerned from reasons that impact on the interests of the nation as a whole. This protection ought not to extend to commercial information to all private individuals and entities in the possession of the state. The other reason is that private individuals and entities are granted sufficient protection in respect of commercial information by PAIA and the common law. PAIA, the current standing for the Promotion of Access to Information Act. Still under the same chapter, members, on page 6, clause 19, reading method of classifying information. This comes from the African Catholic Bishops' Conference, where they say that clause 19, subsection 2, should be deleted. The reason being that unblocked classification should not be allowed, as classification must be seen as an extraordinary step requiring that the relevant authority apply its mind to every individual piece of information before deciding to classify it. Page 7, clause 21, reading authority to classify. Organization which we identified is again the South African Catholic Bishops' Conference. They recommend that clarity on senior staff and sufficiently senior level ensure that only senior staff can classify confidential information. The reason saying that this is vague in terms of what is meant by senior staff and senior level and may lead to junior staff classifying confidential information. Page 8, honorable members, clause 27, reading maximum protection period. This one comes from the South African National Editors Forum. The recommendation reads as follows. The 20-year period in clause 27 of section 1 is too lengthy. Also applies to 10-year period in 29.1. Reason being that circumstances may no longer prevail and thus continued classification may undermine national interest. On page 9, honorable members, clause 32, reading appeal procedure. This one comes from the South African Human Rights Commission, recommendation saying that a resolution would be the reduction of the existing time frame to 30 days for review and further 30 days on appeal. Such an amendment will bring the proposed legislation in line with the prior framework. It should also be noted that comparatively, the response times dedicated by PIA are already generous. Honorable members, I now take you to page 12, clause 46 of chapter 11, reading failure to report possession of classified information, which comes from the Mail and Guardian. They recommend that they say, in fact, that with reference to clause 44 to clauses 44 to 46, public interest exemptions should be applied to these offences, and B, to be ensured that the criminalization by imprisonment is dependent on the intent to prejudice the national interest and not apply to the low barriers of classification, and that criminalization along the chain is justified only in extreme cases. The reason is that the media is often called upon to make independent judgments about the disclosure of information that may fall foul of the provisions of the bill as they stand. B, the bill employs a big stick approach to the protection of information from unauthorized disclosure, which may become a substitute for departmental protection. On page 13, all of the members, still in the same clause, on top we have the SANEF, according to SANEF, standing for the South African National Editors Forum. They recommend that information should be as unrestricted as possible. They have comments there, see comments on clause 14. They say, however, with regard to clauses 44 to 47, public interest exemptions should apply to journalists, should permit disclosure to the media of information that implicates significant public interest concerns, notwithstanding its classification. The reason is that journalists' primary function is to expose corruption and ensure accountability. On page 14, one of the members, the very last one, chapter 13, reading general observations. The organization there is the Open Democracy Advice Center, acronymed ODEC. They recommend that they say synchronize the bill with the Promotion of Access to Information Act to ensure that classification proposed apply to records, but only once they are exempt from disclosure in terms of PIA. The reason is that PIA is the principal governing law on access to information. The draft bill in front of Parliament attempts to set up a parallel, incoherent regime for refusing access to information and for classifying such documents when considered in contrast to PIA. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable members, there you have it. A very quick presentation. I think the document itself has got more information. I think because we're pressed for time, the researcher just rushed through it, but I'm sure in your own time you'd find it a very useful document. Are there any questions?
On the document? Or
on the presentation and the document. Down and then I've got the Honorable Robert Dallis.
I think this is very useful. I've got a many questions on this. The summary of what you have. The only problem I have, and I've asked if the committee is really looking to, we asked for this international comparison from the minister, and they don't seem to have given us. After researchers to do this international comparison for us, I think that'd be useful. Two, in that process, I'll ask them if they can do more research. How has this problem of information peddling has been handled by other countries? And so as you can see, whether the measures we're putting here are they sufficient enough. I'm saying this because the reason for this agency of this deal was that we're trying to prevent information peddling. The other aspect is the protection, the general protection of the rights of South Africans. If I remember, the other motivation which seems to be fizzling out is the issue of private intelligence industry. Because the only thing I'm seeing in the bill is about espionage, people trying to steal information from government. But I don't think it covers the protection of being smart, having a false flag, hiring a private intelligence to investigate and abuse the rights of the South African citizen. I'm not sure where is that covered, because that was one thing which was supposed to be covered in the bill, which I haven't. Unfortunately, this privacy law and the Human Rights Commission, I don't think we can wait for that. If they can come with something, we'll amend the law. Because the Law Commission. Law Reform Commission. Good people. But I have not seen whether they have up on the problems they've identified. If they come with better legislation, others are not addressing that issue. Because it's one concern we're worried about. For the state of intelligence organizations to invade the private business, they have to go through a judge. But if a private organization doesn't have to do that, we're going to have this problem of outsourcing of intelligence. So to me, I just wonder if you can get us an idea, how is that being dealt with other countries? Do they deal with private? Do they allow it? Private intelligence organization, because primarily because of the outsourcing of intelligence, which is becoming a worldwide phenomenon now. People, they take those shortcuts to prevent following the necessary procedures we put. I'm just appealing that those are the areas which will empower me to make final decisions on the bill. If the researchers can sort of tease those aspects. And the other one was the one we discussed before, Chairperson. The declassification process, the comparison on that, I think that would be very useful for us, because it's a new thing which is coming in the field, so that we don't become reckless and or become too lenient at the same time. So I think that will assist us as members of the committee to make final decisions.
I'm happy with it.
Thank you, Dr.
If you are listening to say so.
The Honourable Mentor.
Let me just from you, lest I do wrong. Are we supposed to have a preliminary response to the issues raised by the submissions, or are we just dealing with the... Okay. The only request I make that in this document as well, we must write South African Human Rights Commission. So we must effect the correction there. So we're not in at this stage not dealing with the content. We're just noting it. Okay.
Okay, thanks for this document. Mine is really not a question, but this bit is educational for me, because I was with me. I didn't know that when a person does not understand something, it must be deleted. You know, there's something. Just because it's not clear to you, it has to be deleted. You can't run a country like that. And
yeah, short thing.
No, really, then there's something from finance. I've learned a lesson that journalists. Primary function is to expose corruption. And then so on. If the country has got no corruption, there are no elections. I'm telling you, this bill is going to educate us.
Yeah.
So much. Thank
Chairperson, yes, I think the request from Dr. Kwele is very important. If I could just add to that, a lot of the submissions referred to Clause 26 and the 20-year period provided there, they say it's too long, as part of the information they're gathering for us, dealing with classification and they also look at international comparisons that relate to that period. That's because other countries, they like to know what period they use. Very curious about that. Thank you, Chair.
The Honorable Mentor wanted some clarity.
Chair, there are things that I know you said we are not going to pick up issues from the submissions. But there are pointers to lack of information, lack of, which might not be a reflection necessarily on the people who submitted. That there are clear issues that for me are calling for, if there are people who have a keen interest in these matters of state information, by virtue of looking on the surface at the presentations they've made, it might be that there are other things that we need to clarify, not only to them, but to the broader public. There are issues thrown around here of national interest, for instance. And when I underlined that and I searched deeper, the people who were raising issue of national interest, My understanding of national interest sitting in this committee is not the same to what that they are purporting national interest can be or should be or could be. And then thinking about the broader public that we represent, whether they understand the issues of national interest. There are a whole range of issues that I picked up that signify to me either lack of understanding or poor communication amongst the role players, probably on our part, etc. The statements that are made that, well, we will challenge when we meet the presenters, but some of those statements are sending a clarion call only to us also to communicate broader on other issues that are related to our role as parliament and as the executive in securing national security. So I don't know what are we going to do with those things that are clearly being flushed by this process that need more dialogue and more clarification. And like thank you, I didn't know that research should at all times be conducted in an open fashion. I mean, if you do nuclear science, technology, and other things, the submission by SANEF is that research should always, in the name of national interest, research should always be done in an open manner. scientific research often does not conform openly. At the end of the research process, you make your findings. So for me, there are questions of dialogue, questions of clarification, questions of a clear dialogue necessary on issues of national security and our role and the role of the state to protect itself and to protect the citizens. What are we going to do about those issues?
Thank you. Look, I think we all understand this is a new piece of legislation. It is unique in many sense, and it's been motivated by real experiences. As those of you on the JSC, I would understand more what I'm saying. So the presentations or the submissions we're getting now, one can understand the area from where it's coming. Because there are those people that deal in the domain of information, and actually one would expect that they would be concerned when you are bringing legislation into operation that might restrict their domain to a certain extent. And we know the media and organizations are very keen on transparency as opposed to secrecy. And that's the divide which we need to find here in the committee. The other issue from government's point of view, given the experience we're going through, there is an obligation on government to take control of some of the issues which we are experiencing now. The government cannot sit back and watch these peddlers. One cannot sit and watch private intelligence companies just do what they want to. And so I think, I don't think anybody is going to complain that such a piece of legislation is totally out of order. I think we need to find the balance. And I think the point that the Honorable Kwela is raising, that we need to look at international experiences. What we have before us now from the researcher is a document. We know the side. We know the concerns. These concerns have come up in the information. When PIO was presented, it comes up all the time. And we can understand that people that deal with that type of experience need to be concerned. But what the Honorable Kwela is saying is that we do not have the other side of the story. Whether it is naivety on behalf of some of the people to believe that Parliament will take care of that process and protect their interests, I don't know. But what we have here is the one side of the story. Concern from people that deal with information on just that the bill might be taking the thing too far. And I think the Honorable Kwela is correct when he says we need to be more careful and look at the other side of the story too. And so when the researcher revises his document, I think what the Honorable Doctor is asking for is that he brings into that document a little bit more information about what is being said about some of the other issues in an overseas environment where they perhaps have had the experience that we are presently. Have I captured that correctly on the board? Then, I was unaware that you had put the question to me. But if
what are we going to do with the issues that are clearly calling for dialogue, discussion, clarification, etc., beyond the submitters? Do we have a common understanding of what national interest is, what national security is, things like those?
I see the Honourable.
Thank you. I think what Honourable is saying is valid, but I don't have an easy answer to it. I think it is the duty of you as members of Parliament to engage in such debates. I remember before we were saying that we must also lead in some of these topics. Like you're saying, what is the national interest? I know at the government level, we invited in some of the public meetings, we're trying to get this thing at the NICOP was coordinating those public meetings to define what is our national interest in South Africa. It's not an easy, but it's something you should reach. Because if you can't reach that at that stage of defining your national interest, you constantly find problems of suspicion. And of thinking government is a rogue element which can act against you, which probably can, but not this one. But I think it also came when the media used to ask sponsors, they say, why are you closing everything? That's not everything is closed. Because other countries have developed much than we are. Because we're asking, for instance, the journalists, why journalists allow themselves to be embedded in a war? And what happened to objectivity? But they do allow, they do, from the very senior journalists, that way. And why, for instance, in South Africa, we show people spilling blood? The very same journalists, when in New York, they don't show that. It's that understanding of what is the national interest of us as a country, which I think we have not reached. I think the parliament has got a role, the executive has got a role to play. But we can find each other. I think through dialogue we can find each other, South Africa, you know, how to proceed, especially coming from a divided society, how to move forward. Parliament must lead, the executive must lead, but also I think those who have the responsibility to inform the public, like the journalists, they must also give their views. I think we should listen to them. So I think it can be a parallel process, other than saying we can try and sort it through the only hearing. But I think a parallel process can be established. There's been a lot of attempts, even other NGOs trying to say they want to open some of these dialogues. Some of the members know the Institute for Security Studies that requested the College and Intelligence that often requested this debate to be conducted, inviting broader public to discuss those things. But it can be a parallel process to me. I agree with you that it would be very difficult to say with this bill we can solve all those type of problems, but it doesn't prevent us from starting the process. Thank you.
Chair, I think I agree with Dr. Kwela and essentially said everything that should be said in relation to what Vicky Mento has raised. And of course, I think it's pretty obvious that these hearings things at that extreme that say everything must be thrown open. And this is now our opportunity to engage with them and say to them, are you serious? Because my experience, Chair, just very briefly, if I may, with PIA, we had a very, commentator of some note saying to you, cabinet meetings should also be thrown open. Yes. Well, that's so you're faced with this constant tension. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a good thing. You need to worry when the tension subsides and it's no longer there, then you have a serious problem. As long as that tension is there, the media are saying, what everything? And the security forces are saying, no, you're not entitled to it. It's a good tension. But this is an opportunity for us now to challenge some of these concepts and ideas. And we'll see how it proceeds from there.
Chairperson, no. It's fine. But I only want members in this committee also to take into consideration and be very sensitive that we are dealing with intelligence after all. That's my only thing that I want to say.
I think the other problem here is the type of definition that's coming to this act, right, from defining intelligence. Because if we define it in a particular way, people have a different response. If we define intelligence more towards the protection of state security other than broader protection, then people will come with a different response. So I think that's maybe the other way, which adds to what the Honourable mentioned, the way we communicate issues and the way we try to define them. Then you get a different response, for instance, if you broaden what you mean by intelligence, what is the intention of intelligence in a democratic society nowadays. It's not about protection of the state, it's about protection of the people. So that changes completely the way you look at things. So that may be another way of maybe looking at those terms without diluting the act. So say maybe when we're talking about these things, we actually mean this. Because if, as long as we narrow in our definitions and terms, then people may have a different response. whether the intelligence is necessary, I think everyone accepts that intelligence is necessary. Whether secrecy is necessary, as long as it protects our interests as South Africans, we grant the government to do so. At the same time, the openness, a call to by our own constitution, we also cherish. So the issue about this bill is how we balance this thing in the interest of us as South Africans rather than the interest of a particular individual alone. So I think that would be the test of it, whether we're coming up with good legislation or bad legislation, how we balance this, how we inform even our agencies, why we're giving them their secrets, and we limit it in terms of our laws only to our protection, to our food. And I think the issue of those who act and use any secret or offenders just to undermine our interest, that national interest, then the law can't protect them. Then it should be dealt with. You can't hide behind secrecy to do wrong things. I think there should be a very clear message even to the party. Thanks.
Thank you, Jay. You know, I've been covered, really. I wanted to answer, and all the honorable members have answered it well, but I'm much more covered by the last response. I think it has helped us to have this bill. And I think it's a pity it's an ad hoc. It's a pity it's an ad hoc. You are just ad hocing and then you will part. Because really, for the first time, no, really, for the first time since some of us raised that request during the State of the Nation, for the first time I'm seeing a group that is beginning to unpack the request of the South Africa sitting down as public representative to see where we are. This bill is beginning to say to us, that's where you are. These responses are beginning to say how the understanding of what you call this, and that it can be help sometimes, it can be education. I'm telling you, the responses will be saying so many different things. We will think you are in different countries with these responses. Just recently in this house, in this room, we thought. There was an explanation that this thing was sent to the cabinet. But when you look at page 11, clause 36, the response comes from Department, Western Cape Department of Cultural Affairs. If cabinet was briefed, why would the Department of Cultural Affairs, which falls under the minister, who is a member of the cabinet, why would they still be sending this thing? So it shows that even if you serve in the cabinet, but if you didn't understand what cabinet should be meaning in a post, whatever, you will still, it's cabinet, but when I'm in Western Cape, it's not cabinet. When I'm in KZN, it's not cabinet. We can submit our own thing. So I've been going through this thing, and thanks to the researchers, the way they've styled it, I've been going through these things and said, hey, we have been thinking in our country of court organizations that they can help. Hey, but the misunderstanding is, this way and that way and that way. It's a bit we are talking. I want to repeat. I wish after we've done this example, in the corner, somewhere in the corner of all what we are supposed to do, I'm requesting that the researcher in particular, both researchers, can write things that need to be really workshopped on. After I've done this work, there's something that is written in between the lines that is beginning to say the country is very backward in understanding what is happening in the country. We can can be an NGO, but if you know which country is saying we are in and what is the constitution and what is it that we are aiming at, there should be no such, hey, this thing is bad on you. Sanef also coming with their own stories into that. You know, Avusa, what is Avusa? You see, the companies behave like they are not based in a particular country that has got a particular constitution. There is nothing that you spring from as a United States of it. So if you can write, okay, we'll talk. But this begins to throw a lot in, at our own faces.
Honorable Bloom, please. Don't. That this corner is a lot of information peddling that's going on. Please, honourable members, will you come to order? The honourable mentor, is it something you want to add to your previous statement?
Okay, that's something that I don't want to lose. The checklist person mentioned. Maybe we need to in another exercise or task other people amongst ourselves to go and look at the definitions. And also to go and look at the objects of the law to check whether they're zeroing in nicely into what we would like to achieve. Check, can I be excused? I have another meeting at 12. If it's a
yeah, we almost finishing on remember. Perhaps on remember on your law suggestion we would perhaps tasked a few people just to compile something on some of the key words and key definitions. But I don't want that. Okay. We look into that. Honourable members, I think we're getting to the end of this meeting now. But please don't run away. Just be careful. We've got some issues to finalize. Look, this is the first interaction. I think it was a good one. We're getting to understand what's going on now. I think the researchers have helped us. And we will get into more of these interactions, and as we go along, I think we will come to understand much better what is required of us. I think Doc makes a very good point. We must move carefully. I think that's what I understood from what he was saying. We need to work from an informed position, and we need to empower ourselves with that information. Myself, I've done a lot of reading, and I say every time I read, I see more things that are more worrying, and so I must support very strongly that before we really get into taking this out and deleting things that we don't like, We must really understand what we're doing. We must be enlightened. So we have been nominated to deal with this process. So I think let's understand that we're going to move from carefully, that we don't rush things. That having been said, I think let's just finish off the agenda before we say goodbye to this venue. We will not be meeting here again. And you don't have to say formally goodbye. The question of the minutes, we have been circulating copies of the minutes. They have not yet been approved. What I propose is you'll get a copy of the last meeting's minutes and this meeting, and then when we get together again, just go through, because we try and keep the minutes very elementary. So there isn't any, just capture some of the main issues and not getting to the discussions that took place. So we won't deal with the minutes now. There is, however, something that we need to look at, and that's the trip It is envisaged that the committee go on a trip, a very serious trip, not a holiday trip, to sometime in July. That we go on this trip to try and get ourselves empowered with what the overseas experience. What we are looking at the moment is India. We've tried to look at Germany. There were problems. The German parliament is in recess until September, and they're not receiving any delegations. Some of the other countries, they've got valuable experience. We don't have very useful diplomatic relations there. We've identified India. There seems to be an experience there from which we can learn. What we envisage when we go, we look at a very big delegation so that we can break up into smaller groups, that we can get smaller groups to go in and deal, for example, just with declassification, another group to deal with classification, another group to deal with databases and so on, so that in the short time that we are overseas, we can get more information rather than the whole delegation just going to one institution and spending a whole day there. That is what is in envisage, that we go overseas not as a holiday, that we understand, we're going there to become informed, that we can use that experience in the work that we're doing. So, we have not yet finalized the issue on the trip, and I don't think we want to get into a long discussion there. Perhaps if the committee can just approve informally or formally that we continue the discussion on the trip to India.
So moved.
Okay. Okay. We've got a motion that the proposal will be accepted, and you have an objection. Let me hear your objection.
We've never gone abroad on holiday. Chairperson keeps on saying it will not be a holiday. We've never been on abroad on a holiday. So I don't know where you get this thing from.
Honorable Mentor, I have not been overseas with you myself, so I don't have an experience.
Obviously, Dr. Turner, no, where they met all of
this. Well, Honorable Blum himself.
No, Chairperson, I support what it's a very bad reflection. You have warned me that we are not alone in this room, and Ms. Mentor is correct. You must withdraw the holiday part, because all committees in Parliament are not going. They are going on study tours and not holidays. So I want to support what Ms. Mentor is saying. But I will also second what Mr. Landers have said, and we close the meeting. Thank you very much.
The Honorable Swat.
Sir, can I just admit that I totally misunderstood you? I thought you were making a joke.
the Honorable Twitter.
I'm seconding, I know you've withdrawn, several others didn't help you.
Did you withdraw?
I can
see suddenly the Honorable Bloom is very awake.
I think it may take us forward. This is just a trial conditional. So
yeah,
you can
in the forum when you made the decision.
I just want clarity, Honourable Boomer, on what it is you would like me to do.
Chairperson, is there any date? Is there any date?
Point of order.
Yes.
I'm wanting to understand what it is you wanted me to withdraw. So I hereby unconditionally withdraw the holiday part. Now before you, so be careful now, Honourable Bloom. Be careful if I see you eating ice cream on this trip, okay? Look, the proposed.
We don't have to
The time period that we're looking about is around about the 14th to the 24th of July.
Somewhere in the week.
Somewhere in that area.
Let's
We are pressing for the third week so that when we get back, we can fall into the public hearings. That is the thinking behind the thing. Now, honourable members, that is the meeting for today. Thank you for the visitors. And this meeting is closed.
One more. That's fine. Thank you.